there, sports fans. You are listening to The Smoke Show on Seaford 88.7 and Seaford.ca. In this studio, we got myself, Smokestark, as well as the Avalanche, Adrian Messina. How are you doing there, Avalanche?
I'm approximately adequate.
Approximately adequate. Well, you know what? I'm gonna say that's a win. So, it's the final day of week one of the Canada Winter Games. What are your thoughts on the first week? Has there anything been amazing about this week?
To shortly sum up the first week of the Canada Winter Games here in Prince George, I would have to say a huge success.
Success!
Success. Okay, yeah, the sports are great, but oh man, is downtown, the Civic Plaza and all those bands, you don't even need the sports. Just with the entertainment that they offer down there, that with the Caribou House and the Clayley Tenay, ATCO trailer buildings, everything down there is just absolutely fantastic. And the sports themselves, these athletes are young, but man, are they doing a good job.
Have you checked out that Shaw building where they you can interview a legend or a player, Cassie Campbell, Josh Morrissey, or Katrina LeMay-Doan? It's put on by Global PC as well.
Yeah, I was down there. They also have heat lamps in there. So on the days it was kind of cold, I just watched the bands from the Shaw trailer. But they've got a really neat setup in there, sort of like a winterized live set of Global BC.
Yeah.
And you can interview anybody. You can interview somebody beside you or one of the names you mentioned. And they tape it and they send it to you for free.
Have you done it?
I haven't done it yet. Every time I see it, I think of you. And you're probably a kid in a candy store doing that. I'd have to see the footage. But it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was fun. I chose Cassie Campbell Pascal.
Nice.
Because he's like, what do you want? He's like, so we got Josh Morrissey. He's a player. I'm like, you don't have to tell me.
Been there, done that.
I'm like, I've already interviewed him. Let's go with someone I haven't.
Yeah.
And then I did mine, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And I think I'm going to probably post that up to Facebook for the Smoke Show Facebook page.
That'll be awesome. I'll have to look at it.
And, our fans can do that as well. What about the sports? We got a lot of sports going on. And some pretty good competition.
Some great competition. I haven't checked out any of the skiing. I'm hoping to get there sometime this week, so I can't say anything about the skiing. I've watched quite a bit of hockey and watched some wheelchair basketball. And oh man, is wheelchair basketball entertaining. Regular basketball does not even compare. Just a bunch of guys running up and down a court, shooting a ball into a basket. But when you're playing wheelchair basketball, all the things you have to focus on a machine that your brain doesn't control. So when you're going down the court, you have to think about dribbling because you can't travel. You have to think about pumping your tires so you go fast. You have to think about turning the tires, which is a chore in itself. You have to think about stopping, all while you're supposed to be thinking about defense, offense, shooting, and passing and blocking.
You even had a bit of experience in one of your education classes. You were able to take out a few wheelchairs and try it out. Did that give you more appreciation for the sport when you watched it?
Definitely. When I was going through training here at UMBC for education, we did a seminar on wheelchair basketball, and it was me and about 19 other people my age, and holy cow, is it ever a hot mess. The hardest thing to do in this sport was to shoot, which you think, okay, it's basketball, you know, the aim of the game is to shoot. That's the hardest thing to do because my brain couldn't figure out stopping or going to the net and then stopping before I shot. I'd go to the net and I'd put the ball up and try to shoot it, but in 2 seconds I'd be under the net and I'd be shooting behind me, and then I'd be so disoriented I'd smash into the wall. So there's so much to think about. With every other wheelchair on the court, you have to be so alert, and it gets rough out there too. Like when I went to the BC Saskatchewan game, BC got killed, but they still played really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't argue with that. And if you hit a guy full speed, you're going flying. Those guys are getting knocked over, knocked down, and just the pure athleticism and then their upper body strength is just incredible. And if you haven't played wheelchair basketball and you think it would be easy, you need to give it a shot and you'll get a whole new appreciation for the sport. And it's really entertaining to watch too, those guys with their crazy reverse layups, and their awesome passing, and the way they pick up the ball off the court, they attach it to their wheel pretty much and let it spin up. Like, it's just a crazy athletic sport, and if you haven't watched any of it yet, I don't know when it ends. I think it ends today, but you have to go and check it out.
Mixed wheelchair basketball finals. The gold medal game is at 7 o'clock at Dutchess Park Secondary School. Bronze medal game, if you want to see the women's hockey game and still want to catch a high-profile wheelchair basketball game, you can also go to the bronze medal game between Alberta and PEI at 5 o'clock at Dutchess Park. I think I might actually go there. I don't know if you want to go there.
At 4 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? Do you think we'll be back in time for the...
7:30.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. Well, yeah, that'd be a good thing to check out, and I urge everybody to go. It's $5, right? Or is a bronze medal game 10?
$5 or $10 doesn't matter.
Yeah, either way, it's dirt cheap for excellent entertainment. Wheelchair basketball, your mind has to be firing on all cylinders if you want to try and play the game. Local boy Avril Harris, he's the guy who ran the seminar, star of the Team BC. He's absolutely phenomenal. So
nice.
You got to go check it out.
Well, there you go. That's pretty awesome. You got to be taught by a Canadian athlete. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go with women's hockey, because I know you and I have both watched a number of games. First off, what is your overall impression of the attendance that's been at these games so far?
Well, they're doing it at two venues. They're doing it at Kintu, which has very limited attendance, and they're doing it at the CN Center, which obviously has a capacity for about 6,000 people. The Team BC Quebec game, the first BC game, it was pretty good for attendance. There's about as many people there as you'd see at a Cougar game last year, so about 1,200 people wasn't too bad. It's the non-BC games, like the Maritime Province games, Nova Scotia, PEI, New Brunswick games, that because you're playing in the huge CN Center, it looks very, very sparse for attendance. But, yeah. I mean, that's fine, right? They came into the games knowing that not everybody in town here would be interested and not everybody flying from Prince Edward Island to come and watch these games. But Kintu has got a great atmosphere for the hockey. It's small, it's echoey, it's loud. They have metal stands on the backside of the visitor's net. And you fit 500 people in there, and it's louder than the CN Center with 1,200 people. I saw Saskatchewan play Manitoba, in which was hands down one of the best hockey games I've ever seen. It was a 2-1 shootout win, and the Manitoba fans were on one side. It was just like a college football game, and the Saskatchewan fans were along the ice on the other side. Yeah. And it was just an excellent atmosphere there at Kintu. So the attendance, given what the teams are coming in, it's been pretty good.
Well, that's good. I know I've seen a few games, and it's funny. Without even having like signs saying which fans will go on which side of the arena,
yeah,
you always have one province on one side and one on the other, and it always just fascinates me. Like who thinks of that up in the beginning?
Yeah.
But I was at the Team Ontario versus Team Alberta game. I believe it was last night, and the Albertans were very loud. Obviously, it's a little closer than the other provinces,
yeah.
So they're able to get more people. But it was great. There was about 100 or so Albertan fans with giant cowbells and really just hooplaing all over the place.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, their team just couldn't get things going.
Yeah.
Until this is the funny part. The last like 3 minutes were incredibly exciting, because somehow Team Alberta just woke up and started scoring. And Team Ontario's like, uh-oh. And then off the face-off, after one of the Albertan goals, it was 3-1, and the momentum was clearly on Alberta's side. And somehow, one of the Ontario ladies, I think it was Fields, broke through the defense and got a breakaway and scored. But it's a breakaway, so you're thinking, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Not the goalie's fault. 100% the goalie's fault.
Oh, what happened?
It was the weakest five-hole goal on the planet.
Oh, no.
And it just crushed and like the momentum that the Albertans had. And I thought, that's it. Like, there's no way Alberta's going to score again. because they couldn't score the whole game pretty much.
Yeah.
And then they come back and score again. And it's like, okay, now it's 4-2. And Albertans are all over the Ontario ladies. And luckily for Ontario, there's an empty net. And from one end to the other, a shot. I mean, you don't even see that in the WHL.
Yeah.
They barely hit that shot.
Yeah.
Yet somehow this girl got it. And
wow.
It was an exciting, it was a pretty good game for overall.
Yeah.
But it was a very exciting last few minutes.
Cool. And that's exactly what the Saskatchewan-Manitoba game was. It was the first game of the tournament for these two teams. And they were so evenly matched, it was ridiculous. The shots were pretty good. I think at the end of the game, shots were about 25 each. And throughout the whole game, it was scoreless. Great chances on either side. Goalies were standing on their heads. The girls were pushing the offense, great on defense. Until 58 seconds to go, Manitoba, it's 58 seconds to go in the third period, Manitoba scores. And the game had been so tight, everyone's like, okay, you know, it's 1-0, 58 seconds to go. Game over, right? And the Manitobans, I was sitting on the Manitoba side, they were all going nuts, they were really happy. And so Saskatchewan, they pull their goalie. The play goes down to the other end, and there's a few mad scrambles in front, but nothing's really happening until about, with 10 seconds to go, one of the Saskatchewan girls is behind the net thinking about what to do for the puck, and all throughout the loudness of the entire arena, you can hear the Team Saskatchewan defender at the blue line call for the puck. I could hear it from all the way down the other side of the ice. She screams and yells for the puck, so the girl behind the net passes it out. Saskatchewan defender shoots a puck on net, follows up with her own rebound, and Saskatchewan in a mad scramble scores to tie the game with 5 seconds to go.
Wow.
So it goes into a crazy overtime, and Manitoba ends up winning in a shootout. But oh man, overall, that was just extremely entertaining. It was awesome. Totally worth the $20 day pass for the day I spent there. Like, it was absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's the great thing, is you see, even if the teams are down, there was no quitting these girls.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to see. I mean, if I'm a coach of the men's hockey team, I'm saying, you know what? Play like girls. I'm serious. It's like that Dove commercial.
Yeah.
Be like a girl. Yeah. Because they are working their tails off. And the whole 60 minutes, you don't see any these, you know, oh, taking a shift off like you see in any men's hockey.
The Cougars.
Well, the Cougars, other than recently, they've been very good.
Yeah.
In the NHL, you see like Toronto. I'd rather have, you know, Team Ontario on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Maple Leafs. there was a bit of controversy yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
It was, I believe it was Saskatchewan versus Quebec in the semifinals.
Uh-oh. Oh, was that the overtime game?
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently there is, unfortunately, I didn't see it, but apparently there was it was in overtime. And one of these Saskatchewan ladies sort of waved their stick around, but not in a, you know, penalty manner.
Yeah.
And got close to the Quebec ladies' skates, and the Quebec chick just dived.
Oh, so Quebec.
And then they call a penalty, right?
Yeah.
And Saskatchewan's furious about this penalty. And then, of course, Quebec scores on the power play.
Oh, man.
To put them into the gold medal game.
That's a heartbreaker for Saskatchewan, because that team is fantastic.
They were pissed.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, they had to go down like that. And we have a gold medal game, Team Ontario versus Team Quebec. I went to the first game of this one. They played each other in the preliminary round.
Right.
Oh, wow. Awesome game.
Yeah?
Yes. The shots. I kid you not. 44 to, I believe it was 16 for Ontario.
Really?
Yes. The score, 3-1 Quebec.
What?
Yes.
That is insane. That goalie must have stole the show.
Maude Trevisian stole the show. She was by far the number one star.
Holy cow.
Making 44 saves. She's only 17. Don't even. And, wow. A creepy avalanche on the show. I mean, just an amazing effort. But here's the thing. She made it look easy. She had a great glove that was just working like magic. But her positioning was far and above better than any other goaltender in the tournament.
So we might be watching a future Team Canada gold medalist here.
I 100% think that if I'm in... If I am a Canadian women's team scout, I'm looking at her in this gold medal game.
Well, she had a fantastic game against Team BC, too, in the first preliminary game for British Columbia. The goalie had a great game. We didn't muster a lot of offense, but whenever we did, she was there, and she got the shutout, and she was just fantastic.
Is there anyone else that you would, that you've seen that could be a potential candidate for the women's Olympic team in the future?
Yes. Was Franco. Nice. I don't remember her last name. She's on Team Quebec too, number 14. Pulled a bit of a PJ Stock there, forgetting my facts.
Yeah, I got it.
But she has got the hands and the speed of, I don't know, nothing I've really ever seen before from anybody in women's hockey, but her speed is just out of this world. And I could see her going on to good things too if she sticks with it. She's hard along the boards. She's got great vision. She's got great hands. She reminds me a little bit of Cameron Granato, just a little bit faster.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I could see her. I want to say it's like I don't know French. I'm not even gonna try to butcher the last name.
Was it Rosalie Bejancier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one. Yeah.
Number 13.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Great pick. If I'm picking on Quebec, I'm picking their captain, number 11, Elizabeth Giguère.
Well, yeah, Giguère was pretty good. Yeah, she's solid. She's an all-around solid type player.
And
DuPont was good too.
DuPont's really good.
Yeah.
Team Ontario. This is the weird thing about Team Ontario. They've got a player, a defenseman, by the name of, I believe it is... Jamie Bourdonnais.
Ooh, sounds French.
Number 18 from Mississauga. She is, she's a younger one. She's 16. But her positioning is out of this world good. She's never out of position.
Nice.
She's never, she very rarely, if at all, coughs up the puck in the defensive zone. Wow. Yet, her coach doesn't play her very much.
Oh, that's
She's
annoying.
On the third line defensive core. I don't know what's going on. Because if I'm the coach and I want to develop a girl like this, I put her on at least the second unit and I would put her on a power play because she reminds me of more of a Dan Hamhuis.
Okay.
Who is very sound defensively, and you pair them up with an Alex Edler who is a loose cannon. And you've got a great power play and a pretty good defensive core.
Yeah, that's awesome. On Team BC, number 23, I think is Paige Hardy.
Yeah.
She has got the size and the strength of somebody who could be absolutely dominant in women's hockey to come. She's very tall, she's very solid, and she's... There's no body checking in women's hockey, but she gets into the rough areas and people just bounce off her. She reminds me of like a Todd Bertuzzi in his prime.
Yeah, well,
or like a Dustin Penner.
Well, it's funny because you see some of these bigger ladies and you think, oh wow, they're gonna be so good because they're so big and they are a Dustin Penner or a Bufflin or something like that. You got Eastwood, number 20 on Ontario. She's a monster girl, but like, in the good way.
Okay.
And problem is she can't check.
I know. So yeah. That's a huge part of the game that they're leaving out. Unfortunately,
she's a little slower because, she's got big legs and has to do more strides.
Yeah.
Actually less strides. But having, no body checking and they're very stringent about, about the body checking calls.
Didn't let any, and hits to the head penalties, or so many hit to the head penalties.
But here's the funny thing. There was a hit last night where Team Quebec just got, Team Ontario just got nailed.
Uh-oh.
From behind into the boards. And just no call. The refereeing was a little bizarre, but it was bizarre on both sides.
Yeah.
So it wasn't uneven.
That's, refereeing's been a bit inconsistent this time around.
Yeah.
Like in the the BC Quebec game, the refs were inconsistent for both teams. They called a ton of penalties on Quebec to start, and then for pretty much the entire second half of the second period, Quebec was on a 5-on-3, and that's when they really started to pull away, because they scored enough 4 power play goals in that period, and that was the end for BC, right?
Yeah.
And for sort of chintzy, kind of stupid calls, I didn't really agree with the reffing. Some of the stuff they called was just, I don't know, it wasn't deserving of a penalty. That Hardy, she's so big, she goes in and girls bounce off her, and she gets called on all these penalties. I don't get it. I mean, these are obviously trained, qualified referees, but, you know, they need to start giving the girls some slack and maybe not calling everything so strict. Like they'd push and shove in a scrum and somebody be out of there with a 4-minute hitting to the head penalty because in the scrum they maybe got their hands up and knocked the helmet around a bit. That's not a 4-minute penalty.
No, not
this
at
is,
all.
This is still hockey. I mean, let them get rough a little bit. Just because they're women doesn't mean they can't handle it.
Oh, they could probably handle it just as much.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your thoughts on Micah Hart? Because I know going into the tournament, she was BC's golden girl for the whole games.
Yeah.
For BC. She's the flag bearer. She has all these accolades. I mean, she's under Team Canada World Under 18 in 2014, 2015. She's been to Winter Games for the last 3 years and this year.
Yeah.
She participated in World Junior Hockey League last 4 years. She's has a lot of prestige behind her.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing, not much in this tournament.
Well, I think her problem, unfortunately, she's got all the skill set that she needs, but she didn't have a really good supporting cast on Team BC. I don't know if the coaches did a poor job in making up the lines and setting her with somebody that she can be effective with. But they just didn't muster a lot offensively. And I was a little bit disappointed, too. I was disappointed overall with Team BC. Have you seen any BC games?
I saw the one against, I'm going to say Ontario as well.
Okay. Did you notice that the opposing team would spend a lot of time in our end, getting a lot of shots on our goalies, and then as soon as the girls would get it out, one girl would go in 1-on-4 against the other team, and then everybody else would go off for a change. So the girl would just dump it in because she had no puck support, and then she'd go off and change, and all of a sudden they're back on the defensive. They picked the worst time. I don't know if it was a coach or the players or what, but they always picked the worst time to line change, and it totally screwed any offense they could ever have gotten, and that's why they didn't get rolling. They haven't been offensive at all.
That was a very common theme in the Albertan game as well.
Yeah, but they just changed way too fast.
Ridiculous, because you cannot gain any momentum.
No.
Here's one of the things, though, that BC does not have, which Ontario and Quebec, and to a good extent Alberta, has, which is
puck-moving defensemen?
True. But a game plan in general.
Yeah.
Like you look at them setting up, and Team BC's all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of individuals.
Yeah.
And you got Ontario creating the box and moving it around. And it was a bizarre sight to see.
Yeah.
Because it was like someone on Ontario knew what they were doing and had a lot of experience. And on Team BC, they picked up Joe Schmo off the street.
Yeah, and I've heard an argument being made around town saying, oh, you can't blame Team BC. You know, this is a group of girls. A lot of them have never played together. But neither every team, you look down the roster of every team, they're club teams, and a lot of these girls don't play together. BC actually has the higher percentage of girls that have played together coming out of the Kelowna Academy, which is a very prestigious women's hockey academy here in BC. So I want to say at least a third of the team, plays together all year, and they still can't get any chemistry going. It's all about chemistry, especially in these short tournaments when you're playing with new players and new faces, and that's pretty much the reason why they weren't successful.
Yeah.
They couldn't get, they scored, what, one goal in their first two games, and then they finally had a few against Saskatchewan?
Yeah, no, then that's the bizarre thing. I couldn't understand why that was, but, I mean, that makes sense if they don't play a lot together. I mean, BC does, but wow, I'm sorry. They didn't utilize their defensemen. I mean, I say that. I'm like a broken record for the PG Cougars.
Yeah.
Utilize your defensemen.
Yeah.
And that's what you saw a lot of with Team Ontario, especially against Alberta.
Yeah, and Team Manitoba, too. Manitoba was always getting the puck up to the D because, I mean, the girls are 15, 16, 17 years old. So when you pass the puck to the D and the girls need to come chase a defenseman, for that split second, it throws enough people out of position that you can really get some quality opportunities. So I don't get why they're not utilizing a defenseman more.
Exactly, and you're spreading the defense thin when you set up the pucks.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're trying to do an individual effort, the defensive team knows that all they have to do is concentrate on you.
Yeah.
And they've neutralized the threat.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just very, very frustrating to watch Team BC. Great to watch Team Ontario and Quebec, despite the diving. And let's talk about the gold medal game for a minute here. But first off, you are listening to The Smoke Show on CFRT 8.7 at CFRT.ca. The gold medal game, Quebec versus Ontario. Quebec won the first game in the preliminary round. Do you see that happening again?
If Quebec uses their speed and gets into the dirty areas and gets those quality shots in, I can see them taking it away. But Ontario's got some big defenders, and they've got a lot of defensive skill on all four of their lines. So if they can shut down Quebec's speed and generate shots and offense for themselves, just like they did in the first preliminary game, I can see Ontario walking away with this one. That's who I'm picking.
I'm also picking Ontario just because they were so dominant in the first game, and the only way Quebec wins is if Ma Chervin gets another stellar game under her belt.
Yeah.
Because there's no way Quebec should have won the first game. And they, you know, struggled to get through Alberta.
Yeah.
So they struggled to get through Saskatchewan. I just think that if Maddie Field, number 12 for the Team Ontario, she's fast and she uses her 5'8", 160 frame really well to box out anyone that's trying to check her.
That's smart.
And she really has great puck possession. Unfortunately, the goaltending for Ontario is not great. I mean, they're moderately solid in the sense of they don't give up really bad goals, but I haven't seen either of the goaltenders have a stellar performance.
Yeah, they're going to need that if they want to
keep
up with Quebec.
And so I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm predicting probably a 4-2 Ontario, the fourth one being an empty netter.
Okay. That's good.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be 4-1.
4-1 Ontario.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And you can see it live. If you can't go to the CS Center, you can see it live on TSN 2 at 7:30.
I would recommend the arena atmosphere. $25 a ticket for a gold medal game. You're never going to beat that.
No, I would definitely recommend it. Yeah.
Men's gold medal games already sold out. There's tickets on StubHub for $96 each. Some scalpers trying to flip them, but, you know, any port in a storm, go to the game, $25.
Or a media pass.
Or a media pass, yeah.
let's change gears to the NHL here. First off, you are listening to The Smoke Show on CFRT 8.7 and CFRT.ca. Myself, Smoke, and of course, The Avalanche is with us. So, Let's start with a little homegrown talk here with the Vancouver Canucks defeating the New York Rangers in a shootout, scoring with 2 minutes left. In regulation, Henrik Sedin now has 50 points. He's already tied his last year's total with 25 games left. And they pull it out. They pull out the comeback victory in a shootout. Alex Burrows with a fancy dangle and Radim Vrbata sniping it. First one he has scored this season, despite the fact that that's why Jim Benning and company went out and got him, because he has a pretty good percentage in the shootouts. And
I'm going to do what I always do.
He beat Cam Talbot.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. The New York Rangers don't score 4 goals and lose hockey games ever. Unless Henrik Lundqvist is injured and they've got Cam Talbot, who has started the last 7 games in a row. Tired guy. So, yeah, the Canucks, they generated some offense. Henrik Lundqvist is in there. They lose this hockey game. So, once again, this is not a very good sort of window into the actual skill and play of the Canucks going into the playoffs. Sure, they beat Pittsburgh with Thomas Greiss. They could beat New York Rangers with... They could beat Team Canada if they had a shitty, bad enough goaltender.
Well, they could. I mean, here's the thing, though. It is not just the goaltender's fault. If you're allowing 4 or 5 really good scoring chances, and there was not a lot of fluff. In fact, there was a couple weak goals let in by Ryan Miller. So I mean,
yeah, but that's to be expected.
You know, you put in Eddie Lack, you may have a different game altogether.
The Canucks are lucking out with getting these backup goalies on long road trips.
Oh, come on. They're not going to luck out today. You got Corey Schneider in net. You're going with Eddie Lack.
Yeah, but it's the New Jersey Devils. They have such a... Oh, I envy their schedule right now, man. They have gotten... They have the easiest games. Teams make it easy for the Canucks, and the Canucks still can't, like, win 80% of the time. It's ridiculous. Once they get to the playoffs and play a team that's actually trying to contend and compete, that's bringing their A game every game, they're not making it out of the first round. They're going to make the playoffs, but they're not making it out of the first round.
Of course they are.
Come on.
They're second in the Pacific Division.
They have shown wild inconsistency. Their goaltending is, when Ryan Miller wants to be good, he's good. How has he ever been in the playoffs? Let's go. He's like the Evgeny Nabokov. The new Evgeny Nabokov.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I said it.
Last year with St. Louis, it was, yeah, not great. I will give them that.
The Canucks are 3 points from getting out of the second place in the Pacific to ninth seed and missing the playoffs. It is that tight.
Well, it's a tight race, but I mean...
It's a tight race, and if they actually play teams that bring their A game, bring their A goaltenders and everything, and they're going to just fizzle out. And I hope, just so I can rub it in yours and Sarah's face, that they miss the playoffs, because the Avalanche are obviously going to.
Yeah, exactly. Avalanche are fighting for the number one overall pick.
Yeah. Yeah, they got some competition there with Buffalo and Edmonton. But,
in Arizona.
But the Canucks' schedule coming up, they've got it, they've got it okay. They've got New Jersey, New York. They're going to New York, in the middle of a long road trip, playing the Islanders. So that's going to be a tough one.
Big game.
Yeah, but I bet the Islanders are going to play Chad Johnson. But let's not talk about that. And then they've got Boston, who's not really playing well at all this year. So that's
speaking of backup goaltender. Was it Malcolm Subban?
Yeah.
Malcolm Subban makes his NHL debut tonight against the St. Louis Blues.
Ooh, that is so exciting. That's exciting.
And that's great. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Get him in, get Tuukka Rask some rest.
Yeah, St. Louis is kind of a baptism by fire, though.
Sure, they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're second in the Central Division, so they're doing well.
They're second in the entire conference. They're awesome.
Exactly. But I don't know. I think this is a good test for Malcolm Subban.
It's a great test for Malcolm Subban, but if he gets lit up, that's no way That's not going to...
It doesn't diminish his value.
Not at all. It's good that they're finally getting some games.
I think it's great. I just want to see... I want to see him do well.
Yeah.
Because I want to see him and Jordan with PK as the new Stahl brothers.
Yeah.
In the NHL. Minus the black sheep, Jared Stahl.
Can you say black sheep when we're talking about the Subans?
I'm talking about the Stahl brothers. Nice try, though.
Ooh.
You're just bringing up a whole bunch of stuff that I could possibly get a phone call for. But here's the thing. You got the Malcolm Stahl. Malcolm Subban. He's done pretty good in Belleville with the Bulls.
Yeah.
And he was on the World Juniors Team Canada, not this past year, but the year before. Did okay. He wasn't the reason that they really lost, I believe, in these semifinals.
Yeah, he was...
To Russia. But he also didn't steal any games.
Yeah.
And a couple more places in the draft, he could have been a Vancouver Canuck.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think they would have went for him?
I think so.
Over
someone else?
Yeah.
I think they would. Because they needed a goaltender. You got Thatcher Demko now.
Bleh.
What do you mean, bleh?
I mean, he's some American who's not going to be able to make it in the NHL.
What are you talking about? He's not bad at all.
List of excellent American goaltenders. Jonathan Quick. All right. Moving on.
Mike Richter.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're
going really old school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't Elliot? Brian Elliot?
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He's decent.
He's decent.
He's average. He's average.
He
has a really good defense core.
Fair enough. So, I mean, you know, going back to the Canucks here, yeah, they've had a few breaks. But they also were missing three of their top defensemen, three of their top four. The only one in the lineup is Dan Hemmius, who previously had missed the majority of the season.
He's not really having a good year this year.
Because he's been injured. He's playing 25 minutes average ice time right now because of all the injuries. When some of your top defensemen right now are Adam Clendening, Alex Biega, and Ryan Stanton, I'm sorry. You're doing good if you're beating the New York Rangers, regardless of their goaltender. Even if they had a toddler in net, I would say good job. Because that is a depleted defensive core. But come on.
Yeah, they only see about 10 minutes a game against really easy competition, strictly offensive zone starts, so it's not like they're getting worked.
What are you talking about? They have to be in all different positions because that's all they have.
They don't play those two guys because they obviously know that they're not elite, so they're not going to play them against Rick Nash, Derek Stepan. They're not going to play them against those guys. They're going to play them against, you know, Lee Stempniak and stuff, guys who they can actually handle.
Yes, but who do they have to go against Nash? You got Dan Hemmius and who else? Who else is on the first line?
Stanton isn't that bad.
For his value, which is around the NHL minimum.
Yeah.
He is very good. He was a steal by Jim Benning.
He was a pretty good pickup.
For sure. But he's no Kevin Bieksa. He's no Tristanov. He really isn't.
They play better without Edler.
That's why I didn't put Edler into that conversation. I was trying to leave the big sweet out of it. But, hey, Edler also gives you the firepower, which, of course, they didn't need.
Yeah.
Putting up a four spot in regulation. But...
Against Cam Talbot.
Against Cam Talbot. Who is in the NHL. Cam Talbot's not too bad. But they go into New Jersey. I'm gonna give you a little Cam Talbot stats here.
All right.
Because I don't think he's as bad as you think.
He's not as bad as I think. He's no Henrik Lundqvist.
In fact,
he's a more than capable backup goaltender.
2.58 goals against average. Not bad. Not great. And a 912 save percentage. Around the same percentage as both Miller and Eddie Lack.
I believe. Yeah, but in a fraction of the games.
Miller has a 913. And he's played the same amount of games as Eddie Lack. And Eddie Lack has a 914.
With a better team. New York Rangers are way better than the Canucks. Their defense is fantastic compared to the Canucks.
I don't know. I mean, I like Eddie Lack. I think if you're picking a goaltender between those two,
yeah,
then I would pick, obviously, Eddie Lack. But, again, Talbot's not a bad goaltender.
He's okay every now and then, but the New York Rangers are starting to suffer a little bit because of the missing Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the games in February. They lost 5-4 to Vancouver. They beat the Islanders 6-5. They beat the Coyotes 5-1. So that's a good game for Talbot.
Yeah.
And 6-3. So they are, I mean, even though I'm supposed to be arguing against you, I'm looking at the scores, and it's basically the Rangers out scoring, like.
That's what I've been trying to say.
You got 6 goals. You got 5-5, 6-5, 6.
That's what I've been trying to say this whole time.
But regardless of that, hey, you got to win with whatever you have in net. That's not, it's a team game. And if you don't have faith in your goaltender, don't let up that many chances or don't put him in the net.
Hey, no, they have faith in them just fine. I'm just saying, if Lundqvist was in net, the Canucks would have been stymied.
I don't.
Same with Fleury against the Penguins.
Okay, both of those goaltenders have Jekyll and Hyde personalities, like Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Marc-Andre Fleury, who has a fairly good team in front of him and is not doing spectacularly. So, I don't. I think you sort of give credit where credit's due, and a great game in New York against the Rangers. Going to New Jersey. New Jersey, 7th in the Metropolitan. Ooh, they are bad.
Yeah.
They are not good. They're not too bad in the last 10 games. 5-4-1. A horrible goal differential, minus 29. That's a lot of goals against.
Yeah.
Like, and barely none scored for. 126 goals scored for the New Jersey Devils. They're historically a defensive team that really doesn't score a lot. But other than the next worst team for scoring is the Edmonton Oilers at 139.
Yeah, that's bad. It's okay to be a good defensive team and not score goals, but the New Jersey Devils are not a good defensive team.
They're not.
And they're overworking Corey Schneider to death. Kevin Kincaid has had, 6 or 7 stars this year?
Yeah, it's insane because, I mean, that's what Schneider wanted. That's why he tried to eliminate Martin Brodeur from being a New Jersey Devil successfully.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you look at him. And he's got 49 starts. He's 20-22-5. And, wow, a great save percentage.
That's because he takes a lot of shots.
24.
Yeah.
Save percentage. And a 2.27 goals against average.
I predict the Canucks win this game maybe 3-1. Be a low-scoring game. That they'll escape with another 2 points, I think.
Which is great. Yeah. I mean, we're battling the Calgary Flames right now.
Yeah, but if I was a Canuck fan, I'd be petrified of the playoffs. Because there's nothing to come of this.
We just want to be in the playoffs after last year.
Well, yeah. And the same thing happened last year with Colorado. We made the playoffs, but I knew we weren't going to be any good in the playoffs because we weren't playing at a sustainable level. and you know, we got knocked down in the first round, and we made it to seven games. But what if the Canucks go up against a team like St. Louis or a team like Chicago? They're just going to get absolutely slaughtered.
The only team that I'm afraid of playing in the first round is the Anaheim Ducks, which right now it looks like the Canucks will not be playing them in the first round.
They'll be playing, LA, wouldn't they? If LA manages to make it.
If they made it. If you're ending right now.
San Jose. They'd be playing San Jose if you end it right now.
Yeah.
And that's bad. San Jose is full of firepower and talent. No. And they have a capable goaltender. Oh, man. That'd just be a massacre, and I'd love it.
No, you're playing, I believe, either Calgary or Chicago in the first round.
Well, in the first round, they don't go out of their division, right?
Oh, they don't. Okay. Really? Oh, geez, then yeah, San Jose. Hey, we beat San Jose last time. Not last time, but the time before that.
Okay, so you're 50-50 with San Jose in the regular season.
Well, I mean, honestly, you're getting LA in there. They're on a six-game winning streak. They finally caught their stride.
I really hope they miss the playoffs.
So do I. They're the most dominant playoff team mediocre regular season team.
It's so annoying. They don't do anything during the regular season. They don't try. Dustin Brown's absolutely useless. Kopitar's not doing anything. Jeff Carter's the only one scoring goals, really. And Quick has bad games all over the place. And then they just get in the playoffs, and they win the cups. Like,
they get in eighth place.
The NHL's not supposed to be that easy.
It really is.
They're
not
the only team that can pull it off, but it's still very irritating. Like last year when they were down 3-0 against San Jose after having a mediocre run into the playoffs. And then they come back four games in a row and they end up going on this hot run and win the cup.
It's insane.
They didn't deserve it.
No. Well, here's the thing. Quick, in the regular season, played 49 games. 912 save percentage.
Yeah.
That is not even close to the save percentage he has in the playoffs, which is around 940.
Yeah. It's insane.
I mean, talk about a playoff performer.
Yeah. Maybe without Slavovoynov, though. He might be the difference maker. Richards.
No, you pick up.
No Mike Richards?
No $6.5 million cap space hit.
Do you think he's going to get traded to Toronto? That's what everybody's saying.
I hope so.
Him for Clarkson. Richards for Clarkson.
Two underachieving players? That's impressive.
Yeah. With north of 6 million cap hits.
Wow.
Because doesn't Clarkson make 7 million?
Yes. They signed him to a stupid deal.
8 years, $7 million or something?
Yeah. Just insane.
After getting one 30-goal season in New Jersey and being physical?
Yeah, pretty much.
Playing with Parise most of the time?
Thank you. Was that Dave? That was a Dave Nonis one, right?
Or
was it the last Berkey move?
I think it was a Berkey move, trying to get tough.
Yeah, that one helped out. Well, hey, I love Berkey. He's doing amazing things in Calgary. But some of those moves in Toronto were not the best ideas.
No.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. Slavovoynov, you played all year, basically, without him. And you're not going to get him back.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm the NHL, I just, ban him.
He's going to get deported.
Yeah. So he's going back to Russia. They can have him. But then you got a little bit of cap space to bring in someone, maybe even a rental player for the playoff push. Why not?
Yeah, they could get rid of some fourth line depth. Get rid of Tanner Pearson.
Why? You were speaking his praise at the beginning of the year.
That's because he was awesome for my fantasy team, but he fell off the radar.
Tanner Pearson, wow. 16 points? Didn't he have that in, November?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Plus 14, though.
He's been hurt for a little bit now. He broke his leg. But still.
Oh, there you go.
Not for long. I got rid of him before he did that. I traded him. I traded him on fantasy. 3 days later, he broke his leg.
That's impressive. You have massive luck in that thing.
Oh, no way. It's all skill, man.
No, baloney.
I was like, hey, his leg is looking a little weak. I should trade him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with the plethora of LA Kings games that are showing on Canadian television.
Oh, man, Sportsnet's doing horrible. But I'd just like to take this quick second here to give all of our faithful listeners a quick Fantasy League update. I'm 444 points ahead of second place in my Fantasy League. Second place is Sarah, our much-missed counterpart here. So she's listening somewhere off in the CN Center. I just like you to know that the extra 6 points that Jamie Benn got me in that trade with David is really helping me out.
Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are ripping it up right now. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I have Spezza, too. I don't have Seguin, but I have Spezza. That's just good drafting, man. That's just good drafting.
Yeah, I drafted horribly. I'm not even close.
No, you're an eighth, though.
Am I still an eighth? That's impressive.
James auto-drafted 8 goalies, and he's still in 14th. After I've made him a ton of trades to try and improve his team. Because I just have so much skill, I just had to get rid of some.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm pretty awesome.
Let's talk about the Prince George Cougars for the last little bit here. You are listening to The Smoke Show on Seaford 88.7 at Seaford.ca. Prince George Cougars come back home for one game against the Moose Jaw Warriors. They've had a pretty good road trip so far.
And they've had a good enough road trip, and Moose Jaw is not, like, Moose Jaw's bad. They're worse than us. So this should be a good game for the PG faithful to go out and see.
The great thing is that the stadium will be pretty packed.
It'll be packed, yeah.
Because you got all the visiting people. Unfortunately, it's during the transition time between week one and week two,
yeah.
The athletes. So that timing wasn't the best. Obviously, that's the only time they could get for the CN Center.
Yeah.
But for those Cougars fans that are starved for some WHL hockey, you have the Moose Jaw Warriors who are playing their second game in 2 nights against Prince George Cougars.
Who's well rested.
Although the first game is against Kamloops, so take that for what it's worth.
Ooh, hopefully they beat up on the Warriors. Or hopefully the Warriors beat the Blazers. A little bit of a promotion thing going on with the Cougars. This isn't a feature game. It's not a feature game, but they do have a promotion with the purchase of a ticket. You get a fifth line baseball cap, and you also get a 2-for-1 meal deal at Burger King. So a little bit more incentive for some out-of-towners maybe if they want to catch a hockey game or even some local people too. I was looking at the on Ticketmaster, and there's still quite a bit of tickets left. So,
I'm sure there is. There's always huge lineups at the door. So obviously, get your tickets ahead of time.
You can get that baseball cap. You can get the Whopper, and it's only going to cost you $20. Pretty good.
Not a bad deal.
And the Cougars, I don't want to jinx them or anything, but they have a really good chance to win this game because Moose Jaw, yeah.
Well, Moose Jaw is 3-6-1 in their last 10 games. They're just under the wild card standings in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So they are fighting for their lives as well. But the Prince George Cougars have very similar record in the last 10 games, 3-5-1-1. But they've really stepped it up. And who's leading the charge? But they're goaltenders. Goaltenders. As Ty Edmonds has been on fire, but so has Tavon Grant.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd hear, not this season anyway.
No, the young, I believe 16-year-old, has proven that he's not as inexperienced as he previously has shown.
I think he was still too young to be thrown into the mix of things. When's Brett Connolly coming back? Josh Connolly.
I think he's, I would imagine the next day or like game or two. There's not a lot of news on that.
Yeah, that concussion after that hit into the boards.
Well, they kept it quiet. They kept Yari Eriksson quiet when he had his minor concussion.
Yeah.
One of many. What do you think the Cougars have to do to beat the Moose Jaw Warriors on Saturday night? What's a key to the game by Avalanche?
Key to the game is teamwork. A lot of guys are playing individual games right now, and it's really hurting them. They need to look at their line mates, look for puck support, and not try to do it all themselves. You can't go 1-on-3, 1-on-4 into the zone every time and expect to come away with a scoring chance. You need to, as you said a million times before, utilize your defensemen. And the defensemen themselves, they need to stay in position. How many times has Sam Ruip gone for a big hit and thrown himself totally out of position, causing an odd man rush the other way? They just need to play some sound, smart hockey. It's not rocket science. It's the stuff you're taught in minor hockey, and I don't know why, but it seems these last few games here, they've sort of deviated away from that, and they're in a bit of a funk, so their confidence level's low, and they just try to break the funk all by themselves. Like, you see Brad Morrison go 1-on-3, crazy through the leg deeks, and he ends up losing the puck before he can even get a chance. Or Jansen Harkins, he goes down the wing, he's got two guys with him, and he takes a sharp angle shot, and the goalie covers it up. That's the end of your offensive opportunity. They need to start working together and throwing the Warriors out of position and getting them moving so they can open up some lanes to the net.
I think, here's my thought, is the fact that the defense needs to cut down on the shots allowed.
Yeah.
When you're looking at an average of 40 shots a game, that is not a recipe to win in the WHL. No matter what goaltender you have, no matter how good he may be.
Yeah.
Ty Edmonds cannot keep that up for the next 12 games in order to try and get his team into the playoffs. Tavon Grant can't keep up the performance he had the other day.
Right.
Stopping 40 shots. It's not happening. So limit the number of scoring chances, number of shots on your goaltender, and stop giving away and giving up those early first goals.
Yeah, that's killer.
That part of the 12-game losing streak was the fact that they gave up the first goal every time. And it wasn't just the first goal, you know, in the second period or something. It was the first goal given up in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Which crushes the momentum, takes the crowd right out.